Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to the Billboard Sharpie Podcast. Gary Trust, Billboard Senior Director of Charts.
And hey guys, it's Trevor Anderson, a chart manager here at Billboard.
And with us this week,
Andrew Unterberger, Senior Editor at Billboard.com.
We've all studied. This is our midterm chart report card for the first half of 2019. So no nightmares about this podcast leading up to it that you were here and you weren't prepared.
Too many other work-related stressors to let this one really get any screen time, so don't worry about that.
So we're going to be looking back at biggest trends, stories, artists, songs, any angles so far here in 2019 at the halfway point. Here we are, the first week of July. So we're going to be assigning grades as well for how people did.
Are you comfortable with the idea of putting a mark on it, Gary? You seem a little hesitant. Gary's more of a discussion. You know, he's like one of the. He'd have the class where it's like more of a discussion based thing.
So yeah, and do you prefer the reviews that don't have a numerical or letter grading along with them, Gary? You prefer to just kind of dig into the text a little bit?
I just like to bring joy to everybody.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, so Gary's gonna do like That's a whole pass fail. Everybody pass.
Yeah.
Like
a little, yeah. Or maybe just you know, available extra credit assignments for those who found their own grades to be unsatisfactory.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
To heads up, maybe the way this will happen is we'll go around. Everybody has prepared a list of topics on those things, on trends or certain artists like Gary mentioned, who have made some impact in some way in 2019. So I guess we can each just bring one up. You know, I guess the first person can kind of give their take on it. And we'll have three opinions, and then we'll give the grades at the end of that particular topic. So I guess I'll start things off as, ooh, Only I Can. Okay.
And in the bad times, I fear myself.
Let's see. The first thing in 2019 that crossed my mind as something worth bringing up is more on the trend cycle. I'm very interested to see. I call them vintage pop stars at this point. They're not really vintage, but we've seen
throwback pop stars.
Yeah, something. And Gary in particular has been a big fan of this analogy, comparing the 2009 pop stars to 2019. So many of them have made big impacts this year. Obviously, we've seen Lady Gaga. Keeping Up with the Star is Born as of last year, but even Jonas Brothers, Katy Perry, Miley Cyrus, Taylor Swift, all back in action this year. So instead of doing them all individually, maybe we'll break out a couple right now. What do you give the overall class of 2009/19 in terms of the return of the vintage pop star?
Well, I don't know if we can give an A+ because there's no 303 and there's no IS.
Years
only have.
I was going to say no Pitbull. No, I don't know where they're keeping him in cold storage. But you know, it's about time for a Pitbull reunion, Pitbull renaissance. I think.
Yeah, no, it's been a great year for not just artists who had big 2009s or even that part of end of the decade, beginning of this decade, but just pop music in general. We've talked about what a great year pop music has had. And yeah, no small part because of the Jonas Brothers' return, Lady Gaga being number one, Katy Perry and Taylor Swift back with new hits and having made world peace. But also,
this is Israel and Palestine could never.
But also, even someone like Ava Max with a song like "Sweet But Psycho,"
honorary 2000.
Yeah, it's almost like she somehow channeled that era, brought it into 2019. So, I guess I'll give an A to 2009 and 2019.
I'll give it a B. I think it's been a relatively strong showing for most of those artists, but I don't know that we've gotten, you know, unless you want to count Shallow, which is really, I consider, more of a 2018 holdover that just happened to peak in 2019, and Sucker, which is almost difficult to think of in 2009 standards because it's so different than what the Jonas Brothers were doing a decade ago. It's definitely a grown-up version of the group. Aside from those songs, I don't know that we've really gotten the kind of radio classics that we've come to associate with 2009, the kind of just undeniable pop bangers that live on radio forever and still get played at weddings and, I don't know, middle school dances or whatever. That's really what I associate 2009 with. I'm not sure we've gotten a ton of those yet. And maybe, you know, the radio this summer will bear out a couple of them into that, to that next level. But for now, it's a good showing, and it's a strong showing. I think stronger than probably a lot of people would have anticipated. But I'm not putting it back on that 2009 level just yet. So I'll say B for that.
All right, I'm gonna give it a B+ because I think if you kind of try to average out what everybody's doing, the not you two, but just a lot of those acts in particular. I think the Joe Bros definitely are the top of that pack. Just in the sense of, I mean, even just the fact that I guess they even got back together, because I'm sure that a lot of people saying, you know, maybe in 2019, no one's really, no one's really gonna think twice about you guys. I'm sure there were some naysayers and all that kind of thing. So the fact they even got back together, despite, you know, a lot of the personal problems that they seem to go through in the documentary. But then on top of that, to have the number one debut with the song, the number one debut with the album, sold so many tickets with that tour bundle that, you know, not only are people, you know, willing to just check out the music, but also pay good money to go see these guys in live arenas. I mean, that in itself is like, Even in 2018, if you'd have told me this was going to happen the next year, I would have been like, "That's no way that's going to work. No way, no way, no way, no way." But I think kind of to Andrew's point, this seems to be more of a song, an individual songs trend. We've seen Katie come back with a good song. We've seen the Joe Bros have the number one hit. Gaga, obviously, yeah, hold over. The Joe Bros might be the ones with the album, but I think there needs to be a little more than just a couple songs to make me feel like that, you know, this is really the kind of comeback that people are expecting or going to be talking about.
So I said Pitbull. What artist from what 2009 era artist would you like to most see a comeback in 2019, Trevor?
These on the spot questions. Well, we'll eat up 5 minutes with this. Gosh, Andrew, you're killing me. Let me think. Okay.
Well, it doesn't have to be exactly 2009. Yeah, I don't know if the Jonas Brothers had an album out in 2009.
Fair. Who would I most like to see come back who was hot around then?
Someone who you sort of associate with that time period for whatever reason.
Okay.
And who maybe hasn't been as hot in recent years.
Okay, I'm going to say then somebody who I really enjoy. Her career kind of has had this little – it's got this little roller coaster to it when you look at the timeline. I'm going to say Kelly Clarkson.
Okay.
I really – I mean, I think obviously her voice is fantastic. But I think – I don't know. I think she can kind of navigate – she's not nearly as sort of moody, I guess if you want to call it, as Halsey, and maybe her backstory isn't as, you know, got as many channels to it. But I feel like she can kind of play that card where she's not, you know, I mean, like, since you've been gone and those kind of, like, I guess you want to call them pop punky songs, like, I feel like there's still a good place for them, for people who, you know, kind of hit that middle ground between some of the moodier R&B inspired Ariana Grande, Halsey kind of stuff, but also has that pop element that if you want that Panic at the Disco, if you want just that big, loud, thumping thing, I think Kelly can kind of, you know, like, find that middle lane.
Gary, you're still holding out for 303?
No, I was going to say, I want the Glee cast to come back. Drake is,
oh, wow.
Reunion, baby.
Drake is coming for their record for most Hot 100 hits.
What a specific reason for them to come back.
Some of them just reunited just on the spot in L.A. for a little sing-along recently, so...
Time is now.
Yeah, some kind of reason.
Let's do it.
All right, I'll go. Another artist who actually was really big in 2009, having a big 2019. Miley Cyrus. And well, the topic I'll give her, and I guess I'll give – I'm an easy grader. I'll give an A for not just the Reznor songs. Did I say that right, the Trent?
Yeah, that was going to be my first one, but that's all right.
Not only that, but how specific it is to Trent Reznor songs being brought back and reworked by various Cyruses. So obviously Old Town Road with Billy Ray Cyrus and Lil Nas X, but now this new On a Roll single by Miley Cyrus as Ashley O. So who would have predicted that one of the key trends, I guess it's a trend at this point, for 2019 would be Nine Inch Nails songs being completely made over by members of the Cyrus family.
I'll throw a third one in there too. 5 Seconds of Summer's Easier was said by the band members to be inspired by the production and drum beat of Closer by Nine Inch Nails.
But there's no Cyrus.
There's no Cyrus. No, I suppose in terms of the Cyrus crossover factor, now that one doesn't apply. But still, like three big pop hits, notably inspired. And I've also long personally theorized that Billie Eilish is a sort of a descendant of the Nine Inch Nails coaching tree. So
right, it's that moody rock that kind of has infused 2019. So it's maybe
kind of futuristic production, yeah, and sort of hard edge lyrics. It's an interesting moment.
Yeah.
So Trent Reznor is really the topic there, not Miley Cyrus. I want to be in Gary's class, man. I mean, show up getting A.
Well, that's a hard A for me, Gary. This is definitely my favorite thing that has randomly percolated up in pop music in 2019, and I encourage it in all facets and all formations, and I hope it only continues into the rest of the year to come.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you can't give this an A, just because, I mean, if nothing else, no one was expecting this to happen, and the fact that it's not only happened once but twice, and I guess to Andrew's point, three times, is either somebody has stumbled upon this catalog for the first time deep down at some record label and really got this back in action, or I mean, do you have any thoughts about why in particular, like Nine Inch Nails songs, or is that just,
we had a freelancer who wrote a little bit about this a couple weeks ago, and I don't know if there's a specific reason as much as it is just, you know, the Nine Inch Nails were always kind of ahead of their time to begin with. You know, that they were blending rock music with a lot of like electronic factors and some kind of hip hop beats, and so it's not super surprising to see that their music kind of like is more relevant to a 2019 sound than like a band like, you know, Pearl Jam or Smashing Pumpkins that were relatively just straightforward rock by comparison. And you know, they sang a lot about anxiety and depression, and you know, that they were very
very
emotionally open
topics.
So you know, it's not surprising that it sort of still speaks to the younger generation. And you know, there were just a lot of dope songs out there from the Nine Inch Nails catalog, and you know, songs that are still kind of edgy and subversive, and they really kind of make the leap from the late '80s and early '90s to the late teens in a way that not a lot of music from its time does. So it's surprising, but it's not shocking to me.
And even for the Billy Ray Cyrus tie-in in his country past, one of the best remakes maybe ever was Johnny Cash's cover of Nine Inch Nails' Hurt.
Sure.
So there is already a history of Nine Inch Nails having
these goes connections. Country, absolutely.
To country.
It's a random one for 2019, but it's one that's made this year a lot more interesting, I think. All right, so am I going next?
Yeah, you're up.
I saw the light in a sunrise sitting back in a 40 on the muddy riverside, getting baptized in holy water and shine with the dogs running.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about, speaking of country music, let's talk a little bit about some of the country songs that have been sort of unexpectedly successful on streaming and crossing over to the Hot 100 into the sort of top quarter, top tier, in ways that we haven't seen in country in a little while. You know, it's sort of been, I don't know if you want to say slim pickings in terms of country music sort of crossing over to not just to the top 40, but to the top 20 and the top 10 and being a factor on Spotify and Apple Music in a way that we don't really think about with country. I think country is kind of a radio genre, maybe like a digital download genre. But historically, it's been slow to be embraced by streaming audiences. But this year, you're seeing between Blake Shelton's God's Country, Morgan Wallen's Whiskey Glasses, and pretty much everything that Luke Combs puts out, you're seeing those songs kind of taken off in ways that maybe sort of implies that the country is finally catching up to streaming, or maybe they're finding some sort of the secret sauce that they hadn't previously. I think it's cool. I think it's sort of overdue, and it's good to see that. You know, I'm all about streaming being a little bit more sonically diverse. For a long time, it was only seemed to be hip hop and dance music that was sort of making up the top tier of the streaming charts and really taking off on Spotify. I'd like to see more country, rock, pop, R&B, traditional R&B getting embraced. And it's cool to me to see that country sort of finding its foothold there. So I'll give that like a B plus, and especially because I think a couple of those songs, particularly God's Country by Blake Shelton, are pretty weird and interesting songs. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, I'll say I think one of the key things for me about that is, we had seen some songs crossover that had been country before. Probably the best examples are the ones that broke so many records on the country charts, Body Like a Back Road in the past couple mm-hmm. of years, Meant to Be, which I know some people will say it's, maybe a 51-49% split if you want to, mix
between
it with the pop genre.
Pop, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But the fact that, those songs essentially had a lot of elements that made them ripe for crossover. Obviously, Bebe Rexha, big pop star in a way. Florida Georgia Line is, a pretty pop group in themselves. Body Like a Back Road. I mean, we talked, so much about Sam Hunt and the hip hop influence. You got the little DJ Mustard, Hey, 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 whatever. Sorry, Hey, Hey, Hey is not, but the little yeah. Thank you. I'm not going to do that.
That's why
but I appreciate that you could do that.
That sound gets an A for 2008.
That's an A-plus sound effect. Extra credit. But the fact that, when you have somebody like a Blake Shelton or a Luke Combs who is not as accessible to a pop audience or doesn't have some of those kind of ingrained, tricks or whatever that'll make the song more digestible to pop audiences, that to me shows that country is really starting to move towards that peak where it's not just or move to the point where a lot of those core solid country artists who you mentioned, people think of them as just album artists or as radio songs artists, they can move into this new tier too. And it's not just, a frontier horizon for the new generation. So I think that to me, Luke Combs is not, it's not a Sam Hunt.
And Blake Shelton is not. There's nothing particularly pop about Luke Combs.
No, I mean, not at all. I mean, I didn't even know Luke Combs, when I saw him, I was like, I didn't even know that's what Luke Combs looked like.
Just looks like a guy, yeah.
He's a very homegrown country star. So for me, I'm curious to see what that means going forward, because it does seem like if other people can do it, why not Luke Bryan on his next album? Why not, I don't know. Tim McGraw kind of got close with Humble and Kind, so hopefully streaming keeps moving in that way and country's finally catching up to that party. So for me, this is because it's still got some room to go. I don't know if it's an A territory, but I think a solid B for sure.
Yeah, it's the streaming numbers are gradually catching up. Country's always been a genre that was really ruled by radio airplay. So as country consumers get more comfortable with streaming, we're starting to see people like you mentioned, Andrew, Morgan Wallen, pop crossover, being in the top 20 of the Hot 100. Same thing with this new Blake Shelton song. At the same time, you have an act like Dan and Shay mm-hmm. that's completely breaking through to the mainstream. So it feels like this has been a real A year for them with first Tequila, now Speechless, which just doesn't sound like a song you'd really expect to hear on top 40 radio. It's a top 40 hit at this point. Totally works.
Kind of wonder, to that point, Dan and Shay managed by Scooter Braun,
yeah.
who obviously knows, how to play the pop circuit and play the streaming circuit. So I wonder if you'll see some more of those kind of, if you want to call them collaborations or whatever, but people who probably have a better sense of the current game trying to help out country artists make that crossover.
At the same time, too, it's actually been a good year for a lot of veterans. George Strait has had a big hit, mm-hmm. his first one in a bit.
Sure.
Garth Brooks and Blake Shelton just had a huge
big debut.
With Dive Bar, a good new song from them. And even Trisha Yearwood, speaking of Garth. Her biggest hit in years with Every Girl in This Town. So,
room for everybody.
Yeah, there's kind of a nice mix going on in country right now. And yeah, maybe the best thing about it is they're not needing to rely on pop crossover. They're just doing well on their own.
Just follow after me. Yeah. Gonna do the two-step, then cowboy boogie. Grab a sweetheart and spin out with them. Do the hold down and get into it. Take it to the left now and dip.
One thing that I kind of worry about is, I don't know, maybe it doesn't stifle innovation, but one of the things that I guess that I would think would be kind of nice is if there is room for people to break out on in the country market through streaming, that could have been a new way to get some new faces, some new blood into that market.
The one guy we haven't talked about yet is Blanco Brown, right?
Right.
I mean, that's rising about as fast as any song since since you know what other song, but you know, so it seems like that might be a sort of a viral takeover thing that happens. And we talk about the year-end podcast rather than the mid-year podcast, but the trajectory of that is pretty impressive so far.
And that song hasn't really gone to country radio yet. It's all been TikTok and YouTube and streaming numbers.
I can't wait to see that at the club. I just feel like, you know, it could have that crossover where it goes from silly to serious like that. Okay, let's switch gears a little bit. Actually, pretty timely because today, June 26th, when we're taping this, we got the music video for the song Press by Cardi B. So this is the third, this is essentially the third Cardi B track of the year. I know Money came out last year, but feels like it's still in the 2019 cycle, performed at the Grammys. We had Please Me with Bruno Mars. Now we've got Press. So this is, you know, Cardi's real first taste of her own stuff consistently since we had Invasion of Privacy. So we don't know if there's necessarily an album coming with these tracks or what they're all going to lead to. But what do we think about Cardi 2.0?
Well, it's interesting. It doesn't seem like this new song in particular is really kind of capturing the imagination the way all of her other big hits have. And Money was sort of the same thing in that it certainly didn't feel like a big pop play. But it was just such a pure Cardi song that it made sense on radio. And I think it was number one in R&B radio for 10, 11 weeks, something like that.
Nine,
all right. And that's, I mean, like that didn't even feel like her necessarily on her A game, but it still felt exciting and kind of, you know, it was definitively her and she just carries such momentum and has ever since she came out a couple years ago. But it seems like maybe it's starting to sag a little bit finally. I don't know. Press, I liked it, but I don't like as much as Money. And it also, you know, it doesn't really have like a huge hook. It doesn't really have like a major chorus or like a particularly interesting beat to it. It's more just that kind of like force of personality Cardi song, similar to Money, but I think maybe not quite as effective. And you know, we talk about these songs a lot in our like weekly meetings, and you know, kind of pull the room, and it's like, is anybody really excited about this Cardi song? And it doesn't sound like a lot of people are. So I don't know. I still think it's pretty good. I think Please Me is pretty good too, but it wasn't as good as Finesse. So I don't know. I mean, it does seem like maybe she's treading water a little bit at this point. But, you know, Cardi treading water is still like well above most other rappers, most other pop artists, A-game. So I wouldn't be worried about her yet. But I'm also not going to give her an A. I think she's sort of at a, you know, B, B-minus level for the year so far.
Could give her an incomplete.
An incomplete too, sure. Yeah. There's room still to make up for it.
Yeah, I would say until the album comes out, I feel like treading water is one way to say it, but just seems like in this new era where you can, in the old days, you just wouldn't have anything out between albums. This is just now how Axe put out songs. Drake, we just saw with these two new singles that he put out. Yeah, it kind of seems like we're just kind of getting some, I don't know if throwaway is the word, but just some extra cuts from her. And I think once the album comes along, and even if any of these recent singles are on there, I feel like that's when we'll get a much better gauge of really where she is at this point.
Yeah, I mean, this was interesting because I know a lot of people had rumored that one or two of those songs were going to be, you know, repackaged on a deluxe version of Invasion of Privacy. And that kind of would have, you know, I guess changed the narrative in a way versus if these were like the lead singles from the next album. But I think, yeah, Andrew, I think is essentially right. I mean, the weirdest thing, I guess, to me is that the dichotomy that Cardi settled into at radio versus streaming is pretty interesting because, at least with these songs, massive radio hits. I mean, Money was 9 weeks at number one. Please Me had, I think, 11 weeks right after that.
More than half the year so far. Like, well over more than half the year so far.
Yeah, so, I mean, just 20 weeks in a row by herself. And I get, well, with Bruno, too, if you know, we'll be fair. But, yeah, it seems to me like the cultural buzz and the cultural interest is not quite as strong as you know, anything from Invasion of Privacy with Bodak or I Like It or, you know, there's not songs that I hear people playing around in the neighborhood when they're driving down with their windows, you know, blaring songs or whatnot. And I don't know if that's just, if it's just a little Cardi fatigue, if people feel like, cause she's really put out, I mean, very consistently music. I don't think she really has had a break since she started. So, yeah, I mean, I'll give Gary the point of, you know, when we hear the album and who knows what, right. These songs could be like Rihanna's 2015 singles and just be three kind of, you know, tracks she wanted to put out and the whole album goes in a different direction. And I'm not going to, you know, it's not nearly time to to get worried about Cardi's career, much to the chagrin of, I guess, maybe some hardcore Nicki Minaj fans. But yeah, this is, I think definitely, I think people, based on what Cardi's 2018 was, I think people probably would have expected these to do better and probably been more top of mind in 2019. So I got to go, if I have to put it on, I mean, maybe, yeah, B minus, maybe C plus even. Wow. Is that too low? Is that too low? I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, I guess for press in particular, I know a lot of people, I guess the thing is like people were so excited for press to come out and it didn't land in that same way. And I think that kind of is in some ways like the narrative, like people are ready.
She's so good at kind of corralling that hype and building it up that, you know, you at that point you sort of have to deliver a kind of a knockout to just to live up to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think anyone's calling it a flop necessarily, but it's all, people probably call it a flop. People call everything a flop, but it's not. You know, the package didn't live up to the expectations really there.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess, you know, if we want to put the caveat, this is, you know, a lot of this is based on the chart performance. This isn't, I'm not trying to hate on Cardi or just, you know, say she shouldn't put out any tracks. I mean, I get it. Put out tracks. If you like making music, that's what you do. but I will say, you know, I guess based on 2018, I think people thought, you know, she was only going to go up and up. And this is a little bit of a roadblock for her.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
All right, I'm going to give up my first, I guess, bad grade to genres overall.
Just trying to figure out genres
in 2019.
There were no genres this year.
It just keeps going. More in that direction. Obviously, you know, the big one this year that there's been a lot of discussion about, Full Time Road. But just even looking at these recent, I was thinking about it even more, these recent Marshmello singles where you just have no idea who he's going to collaborate with at this point. From Churches, okay, because they have a pop alternative feel. But Kane Brown, again, the country, sort of this song. It's got dance elements. But then A Day to Remember, which is just a total hard rock band, and it really works. So he just finds this way to make his sound feel pretty organic. But that's just one example. We keep seeing just everybody working together to the point where I know in the charts department we're having more discussions about what genres these songs fit under. And it just continues a trend we've been saying for a while now that as people grow up in an iTunes and a YouTube era and people creating music more on laptops than in garages, it just continues to all be one big pot of sounds and specific genres and the way people used to grow up listening to one specific radio station maybe. All of that is just going by the wayside a little bit more here in 2019.
And as an alum of genre radio, does that hurt you a little bit, Gary? Do you feel sort of a twinge of nostalgia for the sort of genre bifurcated moment of popular music? Or
I think it was always in some ways a little overstated because I never I'm a pop AC guy, but I never listened to just that. I'd always flip around to top 40 and country and different genres. So I think that was always a little. It's a little bit of a simplistic way to put it. And radio is always still going to go towards a specific sound for what each genre is. So there's that. But yeah, it's certainly not as clear cut as it used to be.
Yeah, and to me, I grew up with MTV as kind of my primary radio station, and that was sort of the same thing. Especially I don't know in the 90s when you know it was when they were still playing rock music, but they'd also, you know, the racial prejudices that had kind of filtered out rap and R&B early on in their days, that those had sort of dropped too. So they're playing rock, they're playing rap, they're playing R&B and pop and dance and all that. And so that was sort of the original, like, you know, all pop music under one umbrella idea to me. But yeah, like it does seem like 20-something years later, it's getting harder and harder to view music through the lenses of these kind of strict genres. And, you know, some artists are you know, battering down the walls intentionally, and some of them are just kind of almost doing it by accident. And, you know, 10 years, who knows what the genre charts are going to look like, or even we're even going to still bother to having genre charts. It's a brave new world out there.
I give points, good grades to anyone who finds that creativity, because I feel like for years, maybe artists either thought on some level or were told that these are the unspoken rules of how to make music, and music moves forward when it changes form. So I'm good with that.
Should we talk a little bit about the viral breakout rap class of 2019? We talk about DaBaby and Blueface and Lil Nas X and even Lizzo, who's sort of unexpectedly after 3 or 4 years of being an underground favorite is now suddenly on her way to seemingly being one of the big pop stars of the moment. You know, it hasn't necessarily been the biggest year for rap superstar, like at the superstar level of rap music. You know, we've been talking like the Cardi hasn't necessarily come out the same way that she has. Post Malone was pretty big at the start of the year, but, you know, it's just sort of a song at a time for him and you know, no real album on the horizon there. Drake sort of popped his head in recently, but otherwise he hasn't been present the same way he was in 2018. Haven't heard from Kendrick Lamar, only just heard from Nicki Minaj. So it's sort of been kind of a slow year when you're talking about those rap albums that come out and just sort of stop the world for a week or two. But we've gotten some pretty interesting kind of first tastes from some of these newer rappers. Maybe it's a transition year. Maybe it's a year for sort of a new blood to kind of make their way in the game. And I think it's resulted in some great hits. I think, you know, Suge by DaBaby is just hit the top 10. Now it's number one on R&B radio. I think that's one of the most interesting pop songs of the year. Tatiana earlier in the year, certainly that was a moment. And then obviously the biggest song of the year so far, Old Town Road. Now he's got Lil Nas X got the 7 EP out now. And I think, you know, opinions seem sort of split on whether that's going to establish him as a star or whether that's just sort of, not like a cash in, but just sort of coasting on the moment. And he'll sort of figure out who he is as an artist later in his life. But I think it's been a pretty exciting year for rap music, kind of on that level below. And you can throw in Megan Thee Stallion too, who hasn't really had that one huge hit yet, but is sort of building up that cult. And, you know, she's got the Hot Girl Summer thing going on. And, you know, it's just an interesting year for new faces in rap, I think. So I'll give that a B plus, maybe an A minus.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this. And I think kind of one of the things that may get lost in this class of viral rap stars is, I feel like last year and the year before, I mean, we talk so much about, you know, the SoundCloud rappers and who was breaking out. Some of them like did do sort of, I don't know if you want to call it traditional rap at this point, but, you know, we talk so much about how a lot of them were singing and they're melancholy and, you know, a lot of the beats on a lot of those albums are, you know, they're using pianos or guitars, and it wasn't sort of, you know, what you think of when you just think of stereotypical hip hop, for example. And, you know, a song like Suge or what Megan Thee Stallion is doing, like that sort of return to form in some ways that I think, you know, was missing from the past couple of years. And the people who were doing that weren't necessarily able to sustain it in the way that now it's back to being acceptable. And maybe that's just part of the, you know, maybe that lines up nicely with, you know, the pop rise where people are, you know, back to some degree just wanting to have fun or, you know, just clown out a little more rather than be all in their feelings all the time. So I think that element of it, I think, is really interesting. Like, I don't know if a song like Suge would have been a hit a year or two ago in that same kind of way. I certainly don't know if Megan Thee Stallion would have been able, I mean, really without maybe Cardi B kind of knocking that door down, if Megan Thee Stallion would have been received in the same way that she has been. So I like that element of it, that it seems like, you know, we love the morose kids. We love being
love
down. Yeah, we love honesty and feelings. But I'm glad that the Turn Up Crew and, you know, I mean, you know, people wanted to get back and, you know, stab you and shoot you and, you know, brag about how much money
thank
they got
God, yeah.
and chains and everything, that's back in style. So we miss that. You know?
No, I don't know if I want to agree with that specifically, but I agree with the general sentiment behind it. And it's funny because, you know, there was that YK Osiris song Worth It that was sort of bubbling up earlier in the year. And I thought that was going to kind of be like the next big moment in terms of like, you know, something we call it SoundCloud rap or emo rap or whatever, or just emotional kind of hybrid R&B rap music, but it never really quite took off the same way. It never quite kind of got over that hump.
It's kind of like settled in that 20s, yeah. 30s, like where it's consistent but not really gaining. Yeah.
So yeah, I do sort of wonder if the moment of that kind of song being like the crossover sound of rap music is sort of, I don't know if it's over, but it's definitely taken a little bit of a break. And yeah, we do kind of have these turn up songs, these sort of more party anthems that they don't necessarily feel like throwbacks in their sound, but maybe in their feeling, it feels like a little bit more familiar to the sort of pop rap crossovers that we're used to, maybe.
And I think, like, at the same point, like the Lakel Wrong song, I thought that was going to be really driven by that meme. But yeah, kind of in that same vein as Worth It, it's positive.
Didn't quite happen.
Yeah, I think Lizzo is just a breath of fresh air musically. You guys think that's at all changing rap going forward for the rest of the year? I know we've seen a lot of this singing, rapping hybrid, but she just brings a fun element, a comedic element to it. Or is it just this is Lizzo and she's one of a kind?
I hope it does. I hope it doesn't. And I say that only because really to me, like Lizzo is the only person that can do Lizzo style. Like, I don't want to see a bunch of Lizzo imitators out there, you know. And the worst part about that probably is, you know, it would be easy to make a character of that, you know, just a big black woman out there, you know, mouthing off. Yes, the flute. Maybe you can't play the flute. But so I really hope that people don't. I mean, I hope people are inspired by that and like it and accept it. But I don't need everybody thinking they can go out there and do that. And I mean, to that point about Andrew's making that Lizzo, you know, it's so funny, I think, with Truth Hurts, because the song came out 2 years ago, and I think most people probably know that by now that it's an older song. But, I mean, if you want to talk about, you know, a song meeting a moment, the fact that it was picked up for that Netflix show, and it fits right in 2019 the way that it would not have fit in the 2017, you know, Despacito, Wild Thoughts, That's What I Like kind of era. I mean, it would have been a little too goofy, maybe a little too just, I don't know, just wouldn't fit in musically. And I think, I mean, the fact that it, you know, everything I guess happens for a reason, and the fact that it was delayed 24 months. I mean, look at it now. You know, performing on the BET Awards, she was on the MTV Awards this week, and so the fact that she's getting those type of mainstream spots, you know, beyond just the chart recognition and her fans really waiting for this and playing sold out arenas, but getting a lot of those national spots so quickly, where we know a lot of times, you know, the dichotomy between sort of what's popular and for kids and what's popular with network executives and sort of what's put on TV and those kind of things can be such a gap between them. This is all lining up probably way nicer than anyone could have expected.
The funniest part of it all to me is that, I mean, if you had taken the two songs, where they kind of removed all context and just played them for you at the beginning of the year, they played you Truth Hurts and they played you Juice. They said one of these two songs is going to be the song that takes Lizzo to the next level, makes her a huge star. She's going to play it on every award show. It's going to be like a top 20, top 10 hit. Which of those two songs do you think it would have been?
So the producer's looking at me saying she wants to say Juice. I don't think it's Juice, only because to me Juice fits in 2013. Like with the Get Lucky era, with
no, because Juice is a Bruno Mars song. Like Juice is, you know,
you think it's a 24 karat magic cut?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Really? I think it's a little too.
No, I mean, the first time I heard that song, I was like, if Bruno Mars was doing this song, it would be number one already. Like it was that kind of just like massive, kind of catchphrasey, but like instantly hooky pop song that like I feel like that like if radio had just gotten like a taste of that, like it would have just skyrocketed from there. And I sort of thought that might have happened after Truth Hurts. Maybe it still will. I mean, once Truth Hurts moment kind of soaked up. But the fact that it was this other kind of like, I don't know, not super massive sounding Lizzo song that, you know, I mean, it took me like 5 or 6 times listening to that song to even be able to sort of get a grasp on it. But it just had, you know, it has a really good opening line and it's got a good beat to it. And it just kind of caught on. And it just sort of proves to me, like, you really never know with pop music. You know, the things that seem like the most predictable hits sometimes don't quite catch on and they don't capture the imagination. And the songs that don't sound like those massive singles, sometimes they just kind of take off.
I don't know, but that opening line, I think that's just like, that's the most like, you know, meme Instagrammy kind. Like, I feel like,
well, but that and you're right. That is pop music in 2019, yeah. But it's still not what I reflexively think of as pop music. You know, like when you hear like a massive chorus like the Juice chorus, that to me sounds like, you know, pop radio forever. But you're right that we do have to kind of recalibrate these days to think that, okay, maybe it is the sort of thing that can fit in a TikTok challenge. Maybe that's what pop music is now. Maybe that's the thing that's going to take off.
Yeah, I agree that Juice seems like it would have been the safer choice, but I can completely see why Truth Hurts has become bigger.
I guess I'm only curious too. I wonder, I don't know, when you have a song like Truth Hurts that really establishes you, and I don't think there's anything quite on the album that lives up in that same kind of way in the sense of, you know, I mean, like nothing else on that album is kind of as quirky or as, you know, fun or as parodyable or whatever you want to call it as that song. So I wonder what that means for Lizzo going forward, because like, I wonder if people are going to expect more, you know, are they going to think that that is her and she's going to have a challenge in sort of, you know, bringing people to, because she's got ballads on the album. She's got, you know, a lot more instrumentation and it's way more low key. I mean, if anything, Truth Hurts is the outlier to her album than, you know. It's more the exception to her album than the rule. So
now Lizzo's a star, and now Lizzo gets to do what she wants, and she gets to say who she is and what she sounds like. And now that people are paying attention, maybe it won't matter so much as to, you know, whether she's doing big ballads or whether she's doing huge dance pop songs or whether she's doing viral rap hits. I think now maybe she gets to call her own shot a little bit.
Also, one thing, I think she has a pretty good back catalog to mind, because I mean, Good as Hell is getting some pickup too now.
Is that true?
Which is a song from like 2016. So it feels like, I mean, which is kind of more in the Truth Hurts vein, where it's a little more, got a little more personality, a little more attitude to it. So I don't know. I mean, I wonder, you know, is she going to find more success with that back catalog than going forward? What do you do? I mean, a lot of options out there and all good options, but what an interesting sort of point for her to be at.
I want you out of my head. I want you out of my bedroom tonight. There's no way I can save you. I need to be safe too. I'm no good at goodbyes. We're both acting insane, but you're stubborn to change.
All right, we're gonna we're gonna switch formats. It's like your exam. You know, you have like a bunch of multiple choice questions, and at the end we just do a little true false. Just shoot them down the line.
It's better than a big essay at the end.
That's true. The damn AP tests of my, yeah, hate them. No shout out to College Board. All right, so I'm going to run through, this is more, less trendy, more artists. So I just want to give a quick question. And Andrew brought up this person, I want to talk about him. Post Malone. What a sneakily surprising year. Sneakily, in the sense, for me, we know how big Post Malone was last year with all the singles and everything. But the fact that, you know, these two non-album singles, no album on the horizon, doesn't show up on TV shows, doesn't do any of those kind of things. The longevity that both Sunflower and WOW have had in the Hot 100. I mean, just up in that upper tier especially. I mean, Sunflower from the Spider-Man movie. The Spider-Man movie is, you know, it was a big hit. You know, got the Oscar, done and dusted. We're still, here we are in June for a song that came out last year. The song came out last October.
What?
Yeah, hit the Hot 100. November 3rd is when it hit the Hot 100, number 9. And then WOW, I mean, came out right on Christmas Eve. Still very much up there in the top 10. I mean, is the power of Post, you know, only really second to the power of Drake?
Yeah, I feel like this was the year that Post Malone became a solid pop star. WOW went to number one at top 40. Just totally solidified as one of the automatics of pop radio. And it also kind of goes back to that. What genre is he? It's kind of perfect for what pop music is in 2019.
Yeah, he's got the secret sauce for sure. He knows the formula for getting on radio, and he gets in and he gets out. Like, both of those songs are so short; they're both like under 3 minutes, I think. And he's surprised for somebody who never seems to go away for very long. He's surprisingly good at not outstaying his welcome. I do want to clarify one thing real quick. Sunflower, I will always maintain, is a Swae Lee song featuring Post Malone. It is not a Post Malone song. I know they're technically co-billed. You listen to their catalogs from the last 2 years and see which one does it fit more under, and the answer is Swae Lee.
So I mean, yes.
I've heard people call it a Post Malone song featuring Swae Lee. That to me is insulting. Swae Lee song. But yeah, Post Malone, good work by him this calendar year.
Can we just talk? Can we just talk about where we're going before we get lost?
I'm not going to name one because I feel like you'll name this person, Andrew. You're top artist of the year. But I'll say Khalid. You talk about people who sort of quietly become so much bigger this year. A lot of huge moments for Khalid this year. His first number one album on the Billboard 200. Talk has become his highest charting Hot 100 hit as a lead artist. His first number one on his own at Top 40 Radio. But not just on his own. He sort of was making these inroads with Love Lies and then East Side and then that natural progression to having his own huge hit. I thought Better was a great song and now kind of feels like it's in the shadow of Talk. But yeah, it kind of you don't necessarily think of him maybe top of mind when you think of the biggest pop artist right now. And part of that is where is his home kind of been? It sort of seems like he could have, maybe should have been a bigger R&B star at this point, but even RCA Records considers him more of a pop act. So again, I keep saying the same thing with blending genres, and now he's huge at pop, and it just feels like it's been building really nicely to the point where if you step back, I think he's really totally at a total high point for him right now.
Yeah, I think he is a pop star first and foremost, but it's been interesting to me to see that Talk has caught on R&B radio too. I think it's the number two R&B song in the country this week, which is probably his first big R&B hit, I think, since Location even, which was his first real hit. But I think Khalid is the default sound of pop music right now. It's that sort of, you know, it kind of blends alternative and R&B and pop in this sort of the same way that Halsey does. I think it's probably the midpoint between the two of them is sort of the – is sort of the natural mode of pop music in the top 40 at the moment. But yeah, I mean, you could sort of say pejoratively to say that, like, it's not really offensive to anybody. Kind of sort of he has a very broad appeal, and that I think he's sort of been dinged for now, maybe not being a little bit more specific in his songwriting and not being a little bit more, you know, risk-taking or adventurous in his music. But he's a really good pop songwriter, and he's a really good pop performer, and he's got a very unique voice. And I think pop music's in a pretty healthy place with him sort of as the default option.
Yeah, I think kind of nailed it on the point with two points in particular. When the album came out, I remember a lot of people, you know, it kind of was like middling reviews in the sense of, yeah, you know, it's good, it's solid, but it's, you know, it's you want some more personality or some sort of force behind it. And it's, I guess we're kind of in this weird spot where, and maybe this is really, I guess it's not necessarily new, but, you know, it's that line between people want something that's like authentic and real and, you know, you get to know the person. And at the same time, a lot of people just like want a bop to listen to, you know, and just something that sounds good. And so it's funny because people are sort of clamoring for Khalid to be more of this and that. But I mean, especially the returns, I didn't think the album was going to do as well as it has given those initial reviews. But album came out in early April. Here we are, top of July. Album still in the top 10 of the Billboard 200. Talk, like you said, major hit. So to me, it's like the album in a way overperformed because, like I said, those first couple weeks felt like, you know, it's just kind of it's okay. And I thought it would have a strong debut and just kind of settle down from there. But I think Khalid's proving people wrong and, you know, in some ways knows what they want better than what people say that they want. I can't write one song that's not about you. Can't drink without thinking about you. Is it too late to tell you that everything means nothing if I can't have you? What's up, Gary? I know you expect me to bring up Billie Eilish as my last one here, but I'm going to talk about Shawn Mendes instead. Billie does get an A+.
Billie is obviously the artist of the year so far. I mean, if you want to quibble between her and Ariana Grande, that's fine. But in terms of the artist that defines 2019 for the first half, it's almost certainly Billie Eilish. But Shawn Mendes, you know, he's coming off a year. It was a good year for Shawn Mendes. He had his third album. I want to say it was the self-titled, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, he got nominated for a Grammy, I think, for Song of the Year. Mm-hmm. Had a big hit with In My Blood. It was on every award show. But the album, you know, in terms of its chart success, it was probably a little bit of a step back for him. You know, he didn't hit the top 10 with any of his singles. Lost in Japan, I think, kind of underperformed. I think that was a really good song. And, you know, you kind of wondered, all right, is this the beginning kind of a new phase of Shawn's career? He comes roaring back this year with If I Can't Have You, which is inspired by my personal favorite band at the moment, the 1975, and has the biggest launch of his entire career, debuts at number two, one of the many songs caught behind the phenomenon that is Old Town Road. And all of a sudden kind of catapults himself back into that sort of A level of pop music. And now he might be even doing even better with this new song with Camila Cabello, Senorita. But I think the song has absolutely major potential. And, you know, you're just seeing like the pop Twitter stands, or all the shipping of him and Camila, and the video is kind of captivating, and the song really fits in nicely with pop radio at the moment. And it seems like, you know, I've always sort of considered Shawn Mendes to be kind of at the highest level of the second tier of pop stardom. He's never quite been that sort of, I don't know, mononymic, like just like Sean. Like he's never been like on that level of, you know, Gaga or Drake or Taylor or whatever.
What an interesting way to describe that. It's very accurate, but I never thought of that. Like, no? You know, people, like, no one just says, I'm going to see Sean. It's Shawn Mendes.
And he's done very well being Shawn Mendes, but yeah, he hasn't reached that kind of like that iconic level yet. But this might be the year where he sort of makes his claim for that. It'll be interesting.
There's other Seans too. Sean Paul, Sean Combs.
Sean Carter.
Yes, I'm going to see Sean. Sean who? Oh, Sean Combs. Sean Carter. Yeah, you better known S. as Jay-Z.
Yeah.
One, I guess, we'll say artist trend we didn't talk about. Lil Nas X, we kind of danced around him for sure a little bit. We talked about Old Town Road, how big that was. But, I mean, really the whole, like, with Blanco Brown and even, you look at, like, a Tyga Goddamn video. The Yeehaw agenda is really taken off in 2019 in a way that, if you want to say, I guess for me, it's like 2018 was where the melding of hip hop and rock influence like really came together. Like, I mean, artists like Juice WRLD, like really like a very much on that trend. 2019 very much seems like country is the place where we've now set our sights to take over. You know, I'm just saying, I mean, look, with this Blanco Brown thing, like Andrew said, that's on its way up. Obviously Lil Nas X has been the talk of, you know, the world for the past couple of months, but even in some of those more subtle ways where, you know, just in the style and where the videos are set and what that kind of looks like, you know, I guess Blake Shelton and Morgan Wallen and them better watch out because we're coming for country. Let's go.
Well, dance music's trying to get in there too. You got, you know, Diplo making country songs now too. It seems like it's just country is the wave now for whatever reason.
Diplo performing at Stagecoach, my God. And then it makes you wonder also, you know, how a Sam Hunt or some of those artists, even if Justin Timberlake, you know, sort of tries again with his next album.
Is it Justin Timberlake ahead of his time with Man of the Woods?
They'll look back and say maybe that would have been a 2019. A just, you know, that timing is everything. But all right, that's the last frontier to conquer.
Only other artist I feel like we probably have to mention for 2019 that we haven't, Ariana Grande, who had her biggest hit ever of this year. Maybe because Old Town Road came along and now kind of feels like, oh yeah, that was this year for Seven Rings. And it started last year, her total ascent to her biggest level yet with Thank You Next. But she's been absolutely one of the biggest stories of 2019.
Yeah, no doubt. And she's sort of, it feels almost like she's on a break now, even though she's off, you know, touring the world. Obviously, still going through some pretty heavy emotional stuff and sort of unenviable circumstances. But certainly for the first 3 months of the year, it was her year. And you know, she started it on top, and she's sort of coasting from there. I feel like we might not see a lot from her in the months to come. I feel like, you know, if you're not seeing her on that Sweetener World Tour, I think that Ariana might be a little bit out of mind. It seems like the singles off that album have kind of run their course for the most part. I don't see her necessarily digging back in to really promote any of them further. And you even saw that song Monopoly with Victoria Monet, which I actually thought was a really good song, kind of came and went. So I think maybe, you know, Ariana, you know, she's had her moment, and now maybe she's time to kind of recede back into the shadows a little bit, regroup for what comes next. But in terms of that sort of 9 month period in between No Tears Left to Cry and Seven Rings kind of reigning on the Hot 100, she's as big a pop star as we've seen, I don't know, in the last 10 years maybe.
And you know, one thing about Ariana, I guess maybe that with that Charlie's Angels kind of teaser thing up, maybe, I mean, a lot of her fans thinking she's doing a sound for the soundtrack, so maybe that'll be, and you know, I know soundtrack songs are not album songs, but maybe that's kind of one more way to just kind of get involved in that. And maybe that keeps her going through the summer. Like you said, if you're not seeing her on tour, at least you can still be connected with some new Ariana in some way. But yeah, I mean, this is just a victory lap in a lot of ways. I mean, she crushed 2018. I still, the fact that Seven Rings was number one for 8 weeks, I would not have guessed that when the song came out. Not that it's not a good song, but there's just, I don't know, it just seems like lead singles get the attention, the momentum, and everything else kind of has to play mostly for a second. And I mean, I think that, yeah, at this point, to do what you did matching the Beatles with 1-2-3 on the Hot 100, winning the Grammy this year, this is, you know, hopefully she's out there enjoying herself, because really this is like the year of her career.
I'm going to give her 4 A's, both for her chart performance, and that's how many A's are in Ariana Grande.
I was going to say in her name, right? It's got to be.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that basically means class is concluded at this point. I do want to give one absentee notice to one Robin Rihanna Fenty, who apparently is off doing an internship or something.
See Trevor after class, Rihanna.
But I'm telling you, hopefully she'll be back for this year's final exams in December, because we have very much missed her in this lecture, and know that she has a hell of a lot to contribute, and everyone is very excited to see what she's got to offer. So, Rihanna, if you're out there, because I know you're listening to this right now, go ahead and drop R9. Thanks.
School's out for summer.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear, and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.